Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome to Sage Conversations, where we believe that life and even the challenges that come with it is the greatest teacher there is. I'm Mara, and in this space, we try to uncover the wisdom behind these experiences, hopeful that these will serve as inspiration for us to achieve breakthroughs and elevate our lives.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sage Conversations with me, Myra of Movement in Myriads. And I hope you guys were able to listen to last week's episode. It was actually a two-parter. And if you noticed, I actually invited over a friend and someone who already guested in the podcast. And I think that's what I've been doing recently, like inviting friends, inviting guests who have been on the show, you know, because I love how our conversations through time, you know, from the time that we, you know, we recorded the last episode and then from the time that we actually recorded the new episode, whatever it is that we talked about, it would always evolve into something because of our experiences, whether shared or individual experiences. And then we get to talk about it again. We get to flesh it out even more. So I am doing that again for this week. And this time I have my dear friend Azaza right here joining me. So say hello, Azaza.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, Azaza, who actually, I mean, Azaza right now looks really great. Like she's wearing, if you guys could see her right now, she's wearing this like super, super sexy red lipstick. Like she has really great like eyeshadow. Meanwhile, you know, I look like I just woke up. You know, I look like I just woke up, which I, you know, I actually did just wake up. It's like almost 6 p.m. here. Also because I was busy being a parent. I was busy tending to my sick dog. So yeah, I didn't really have enough sleep. But, you know, thank you, Azaza, for being here today. I know we kept on pushing back because of the things that happened. So thank you for still being game.
It's
and
okay.
Yeah.
For parent things, it's totally valid, you know.
Yeah.
It's still important. Your fur babies are still a big part of your life. So
yeah.
Totally understand. And I'm
yeah.
happy to be here.
Yeah. So I wish I put on some, you know, even just some lipstick, you know, but yeah, you know, it's honoring the present, honoring the self, you know, where we are, you know, even if that means that I have to look pale on camera, pale right in front
of you. Look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. It actually helps that my eyes are small. So I don't look sleepy. Like I'm just perpetually like, I just look perpetually sleepy because of my
Same.
Eyes. Right. But, you know, speaking of honoring the self in the present, the reason that I invited you today is because I wanted to talk about something that we talk about a lot of the times, which is about personal seasons. Personal seasons. And we came about that discussion when I was doing a reading for you. And
that was my birthday reading.
Yeah, yeah, your birthday reading. And I don't know how it came up. I actually forgot how it came up since because I was channeling, but there was, you know, that talk about, you know, while everybody is in their winter, you know, you're actually in your summer, your season of thriving, of blooming, of your season of playfulness. And then, and sometimes it feels weird. There are times that we feel isolated because of that, because, you know, everybody else is in this, you know, that collective energy. So sometimes when we feel like we're flowing a different way, it can feel very isolating because, you know, everyone else is, we had your reading around October, right? And that was, yeah, because that's your birthday month. Same, it's our birthday month. And that was the time when, were you hustling at that time?
It wasn't hustling. It was more of, I had a lot of like ideas in my mind, but they weren't being put into action. And that's near
Christmas
season. So everyone else was like doing stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like the fourth quarter rush, right? And then all of a sudden you feel like, wait, is there something? Like you can feel pressure. And you know, because everybody, like there's a certain kind of energy that everyone is cultivating and integrating into themselves when it comes to like the last couple of months of the year. And sometimes we feel compelled to just, you know, ride along with it. And then we become so harsh on ourselves because why am I not as active as everybody is? Why am I, you know, why am I in my room jotting down a plan for a program when I feel like I'm supposed to be carrying this out? Right. It's that feeling of, I guess, with the topic for today is like, how do we navigate between the personal energy, the personal seasons, and the collective energy or collective season? Right. Let's start with the collective. You and I, correct me if I'm wrong, when you were starting out on your spiritual journey, were you the type would always do rituals? How was it like for you when you were starting out in your spiritual journey, especially with, you know, given also the age that you were at when you started? How was that like for you? How was it collectively first for you? How was it like?
So I started my spiritual journey back in 2016. So of course, when you start something new, it feels overwhelming because there's so much information, especially now because we have the internet, so you can freely research what you need or what you think you need. And it was it felt a lot. So I started with new moon and full moon rituals because, you know, that's a very popular thing.
Yeah, that's where everybody seems to start. Right?
Yeah, because it's the easiest way to start. Like
that's true. That's true.
It's hard to deep dive into astrology because it's a lot of information. So new moon, full moon, that's I would consider like entry level. And it was hard for me because I would actually forget, and I would only get reminded like in the middle of the day of that moon energy.
Yeah.
And then I would feel bad. So
yeah, also because of the internet, because everyone goes on about it. Like you'll just see posts like, oh, happy new moon, manifest today, it's a good time to manifest and all of that.
And there's like such a big pressure on doing, on having to do something on these specific moon phases. And that collective energy kind of puts pressure on you. And if you feel like you don't do it, you're failing somehow.
Yeah, or you'll miss out. You'll miss out. Right? Right? Yeah. Oh, I used to feel that. I used to feel that a lot also.
And then the other collective energy that a lot of people know about is Mercury retrograde. So you feel like you have to stop, quote unquote, stop doing something because, oh, Mercury retrograde has a tendency for miscommunication. And, don't sign contracts, don't move. It's like, it's all the bad things. And you don't see like...
So basically like stop your life.
Yeah. So you're like, but I don't want to stop my life. And as much as I really tried to be in that collective energy, it just never really felt right for me. So there was a sense of dissonance between myself and the collective just because of those simple things as a new moon, full moon, and then the Mercury retrograde things.
Yeah. And of course, when you're starting out, you know, and you're surrounded by people who have been in the practice way longer than you have, and you see them being so consistent at it, it's like, wait, what am I not grasping here? What am I not doing enough of? Right? But the thing is, and because like how old were you in 2016, if you don't mind me asking? So I'm gonna do the math.
That's
6 years ago. 6 years ago. There you go. So your age now minus six.
I was 27.
There you go.
26, 27.
Yeah, right? And, you know, at that age too, it's like the earlier part of your late 20s. And then you see everyone just, you know, making sense of everything that's happening around them. You know, it's like, maybe I just have to hold on for a little bit. Maybe it'll get better. I'll get more used to it. I'll be more consistent with it. And maybe I will feel the magic of it. really happening. Yeah, because
that's something will click.
Yeah, right. And then you see some people who are like, oh yeah, I manifested this during the last full moon. And then you're like, wait, I didn't get to manifest anything from the last full moon. Yeah. And that's, you know, when you're in your mid to, you know, the early part of your 20s, the early part of your late 20s, it can be very frustrating.
Very much.
You know, and then you're at that age, you said you were 27 during that time, which was your Saturn, return.
About to enter
your Saturn return. And then there's suddenly that big shift. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait, how come these rituals don't work? Are they really not working? Or do I have to tailor fit them into my practice? But how am I going to do that if I'm in a transition phase?
And before you get to that mindset, the initial thought would be, is there something wrong with me? You don't immediately think at that age.
Yeah.
Like, how can I adjust this? It's immediately, I'm doing something wrong. There's something wrong with me. Why isn't it working? It's the immediate self-blaming.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is. And maybe that also comes with the conditioning that we grew up with. You know, if something's not working out, it means that something's, like, you may have done something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And then, because I also started my spiritual journey like a year after you did, I think. Yeah, 2017. For me, it was 2017. I was actually, oh my gosh. Yeah, see, I can't do math. 2017, but I think I was in my late 20s. Also, I was in my Saturn return, and that's why that whole self blame thing, and then with everything just falling apart in my life, you kind of cling on to that collective energy, or you hold on to those rituals to give you a sense of order or system or even sanity, you know, to be reminded that, wait, you know, something has to make sense in my life right now. Something has to make sense. Something has to be constant, consistent, because you're going through that Saturn return phase. So by the way, I think do we have an episode on Saturn return? I don't really remember, but you know, for those who aren't so familiar with the Saturn return, care to explain, Azaza?
I have the very bare basic knowledge of
That's actually fine.
So my understanding of Saturn return, this is where everything that you have learned and experienced in your life gets questioned, so that you get to understand, what is it that you really want? Is this really the path in life that you want? And it happens around, on average, 28.5 years. So around, for the first hit 27, 30, the first hit, because again, and it happens like before you turn 60. So if you notice, the quarter life crisis and the midlife crisis actually hit during Saturn return.
So that's a Saturn return. So, and it's very noticeable in a lot of people. I don't know, but for me, it was like when I was, so of course I was doing all these rituals and all of that, but it became hard at one point, and I ended up, I feel sometimes that I was just doing these rituals for the sake of doing them, because, you know, it's the new moon. Okay. I'm going to bring out my new moon journal engine and then just write my intentions whatsoever. If it's a full moon, I'm going to release something. And then during that very, very turbulent stage, you know, being in your Saturn return, I'm like, wait, I don't really want to manifest anything right now. I just want to purge things out. Can't I just do that? Because what's the point of manifesting new things if I don't have space for them? And then that's when you start to recognize that, hold on, I have to see how I'm doing first. Maybe I have to do that before I dive into these collective rituals. But what's hard is, it's hard not to be, to get carried away by that energy. How did you manage during that time?
Honestly, I just gave up. I'm like, you know what? I can't do this because I can't remember it. Like, I don't know if I did it for like a year or less, but I know I just said, you know what? I can't. It's putting my mental health in a worse place. Back then, I didn't know it was.
Oh, wow.
But it just started to feel really bad. Because it's that pressure of, I felt like I needed to conform to something that wasn't working. So even at the very beginning, the new moon, full moon thing was never for me. I just thought I needed to because of what you see everyone doing.
Yeah.
If you don't quote unquote fit in into something, it kind of hits you different. And then yeah. Add to that, I was going into my Saturn return. So it was like just things on top of things.
Yeah. But there's a part of you that wants to, you know, keep going at it, because they say that when a collective energy manifests all at the same time, it's stronger. It's stronger. Yeah. And there's a part of you that's like, wait, I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on that. Mm-hmm. But we also have mm-hmm. to recognize that, you know, okay, maybe we do get it. Maybe that intention turns into something material or turns into mm-hmm. some opportunity, an actual opportunity that you can reach for. But what if you're not ready for it?
True.
Because you were rushing through the process. Because everybody else is doing it. I don't know. I don't know if we're the only ones who feel that way, if this is like an unpopular perspective or stance in spirituality. But what do you think?
I think there are more people who actually have a hard time doing the new moon, full moon thing. Because if you don't really pay attention, because I didn't pay attention to how long they were apart from each other. I think I honestly, it's funny. I only realized now this year that they're only 2 weeks apart. Like, as powerful as that new moon or full moon energy is, they're only 2 weeks apart. There's only so much you can do in 2 short weeks. You can manifest a lot in 2 weeks, but if you're manifesting something big, something bigger,
yeah,
2 weeks is too short.
Yeah. Because you want to savor that too. You want to savor what you manifested. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the universe is going to give you what you manifested. Sure. But it doesn't end there. Because there will come a time that you have to cultivate it. You have to nurture it. Right? And what makes it so hard also is that when these, let's say, manifestations happen and all of that, we also have to consider, what else? Like, there are a lot of other things to consider. Like, okay, after the new moon and the full moon, you have the other phases also. And then you have of the moon. And then aside from the phases of the moon, you have to take note of your sign, your natal chart. And then you have to take note of the solstice season, right? Yeah. Like, you have winter and summer solstice. And then, how will I do that? I live in a tropical country. And there's this question of, wait, but don't I have free will? Or you know, these questions like, but I have free will. I know I can make choices. And then whatever comes out of those choices, like, it's really up to me to decide. And then there's another question. This is how my brain works. You know, you have free will, and then you have this whole thing about you being where you need to be right now. You know, you have fate, you have the universe's divine timing. And you start to think, wait, so where the heck do I stand?
It gets confusing.
It gets so confusing. Right? Sometimes I just don't do anything. And just not do anything at all, but it's more of like, just let things be. Acknowledge where I am, I guess. But anyways, you can add to that. I just went on like a mind ramble right there.
Well, it to me, at least it made sense. I hope it made sense to everyone. It's really that overwhelm of like info upon info upon info, and you're not giving yourself time to actually integrate the information. Because like learning the moon cycle is already a lot. Because I know some people are dedicated to just the moon cycle and that's their thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you keep just piling on top of yourself, you're just gonna crash sooner or later. And it's also the collective energy is also fighting with your own energy. Because if you don't feel it, but you're forcing it, it gets way, way too much. And then also like in manifestation, right? Like a lot of people believe manifestation is consistent action. People forget the waiting aspect of manifestation.
AKA me. I am people.
No worries, that's also me from before. Like, I don't think people truly understand just how much you can receive if you're waiting and standing still.
Oh, but it's such a fast-paced life, you know.
Well, we've been programmed to believe that life has to be fast-paced. Like, because we live in the Philippines, our seasons are very long. It's technically we only have like...
Very long and very unpredictable.
Yes.
At this point.
If you look at the four seasons from other countries, they have 3 months per season. Sometimes not even 3 months, because sometimes a season will last longer than the other season, you know? So we forget that it takes time. Like, I always use the metaphor of building a house. You don't build a house in a day. It takes time to build it. And then after it's done being built, you have to wait because everything has to cure and dry and everything. And then you have to start building from the inside. And that also takes time. That also takes waiting. Like the waiting is the most antagonizing part, to be honest. But sometimes it's where we have to be. You know, and people need to remember that you can try to keep manifesting every full moon, every new moon, but you have to still wait.
Yeah. And even in the context of seasons, we may not have four seasons here. Mm-hmm. We have two, right?
Very hot and very wet.
Very hot, very wet. But both seasons consistently humid.
Humid, yes.
Right? But even with the climate, like literal climate whatsoever, we still can feel that collective energy of like when it's summer, everything is just thriving. And then when it's, of course, well, let's start with spring. You know, spring is like everything blooming, everything starting to fall into place. Summer is when we start to enjoy these things. Autumn is when we collect, we harvest so that we can prepare for winter. And you talk to me about this a lot. And that's how you actually describe your seasons. That's how you describe where you're at. And it's, I get it. Like, I really get it. And how was it like for you going through these seasons that you were experiencing? And how was it like in relationship to that collective? How does it feel for you? How does it feel for you? Because it's a constant thing.
Yeah. So first and foremost, because it's like a very recent thing. So this was just like the last quarter last year that I discovered the personal seasons, and it was shocking because in the moment I understood what it was for me, everything clicked, everything fell into place, and I'm like, now I get it, now I understand. And I realized the reason I'm struggling is because I'm fighting against my personal seasons. And there's the small season for women, and then there's the bigger season. Like, the personal season for women is the menstrual cycle. There's that. But for me, that felt too short. Again, the new moon, full moon, and the menstrual cycle, I had a hard time tracking. It was too short. So I went with the every quarter season, like following the Northern Hemisphere season because we are in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, so, yeah, right.
So I realized that during the fourth quarter, because technically that's late autumn transitioning to winter.
Yeah.
I'm literally in winter. I am slowing down. I'm being asked to not do as much action. It's never zero action, but it's not as much as I want to because it's the hustle, the so-called hustle season of winter. And I'm very fortunate that I have people like you and others that help me make peace. That sometimes in my personal season, in my personal winter, it's someone else's season to move. Because sometimes some people just move in winter. Their winter is like movement. My winter is much, much slower.
Hibernation.
Yes. And like also remember, it doesn't matter what hemisphere you live in. Because the Southern Hemisphere, when it's winter, in the Northern, I think it's summer to them. It's the opposite thing.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's not about where you live. It's how you feel on the inside. There is an effect of where you live. That's a factor. But that's collective. Internally, how do you feel? Like, I don't know if this will remain the same next year because seasons do change. Like, nature seasons change.
Yeah.
Personal seasons also change.
Yeah. Like the rainy season right now started way, way earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Way closer to our hottest week. Yeah.
So drastic.
Super. So for me, I don't know if it was really the weather or it was also me. I felt slower in the so-called Northern Hemisphere summer than I did in the winter.
You know what? Same. Same. Yeah. I don't know if it was because it was really, really hot here and I just didn't want to move, but things slow down in the summer. But of course, because we're also in the industry of wellness, mindfulness, self-awareness, self-realization, there's that part of us that has to adapt to other people's seasons as well. And
that's true.
Put ourselves in their place in a way, empathize so we can understand them. Mm-hmm. So again, that's another layer.
Yeah.
There's so much. But you're right. Like you really do have to honor yourself, like what is within, how you are feeling. And I think growing into spirituality and mindfulness, growing into and growing with it, like somewhere along the way, you'll know what will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps to pick just one, maybe. Pick just one. Because it's hard if you have all these different studies. You have so much information. You have human design, you have astrology, you have, numerology and all of that. Some people are able to integrate everything and make sense of it.
But
of
course,
they're very, very amazing at that. But that doesn't make you less of a spiritual person.
True.
Just because you're sticking with one, or let's say you stick with one, it doesn't work. That's fine. It's really a trial and error kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And imagine that, like along with the seasons changing, you are also changing, evolving.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm actually reminded of this, of my natal chart, because I was born during the retrograde. So we were also talking about this before we started recording, right?
Yeah.
Like, during Mercury retrograde, and not just before recording, but we've talked about this several times. Yeah. How, like, I was born during the Mercury retrograde. Like, I don't know, I think 3-4 planets were in retrograde, including Mercury, when I was born. Ugh. Yeah. But so my life is perpetually in retrograde, which is probably why I don't notice retrograde so much. Like, I don't really get affected by them. And then I realized before Miko explained to me that, hey, maybe that's why you don't struggle, so to speak, during the retrograde season, is because you were born during that season. Like, that's your thing. That's really your thing. And I feel the struggle because it's actually me unconsciously trying to adapt the collective energy, or how other people trying to fit in, trying to, again, empathize also. Mm. But forgetting that, hey, no, wait, this can actually work for me. This actually works for me. Not that it doesn't work for other people, of course. Like, there are just some people who, you know, when they observe Mercury retrograde, quote unquote, guidelines, it works for them. Mm-hmm. What sometimes feels so limiting is when we are put in situations where we have to act, where we have to act, we have to do something already. Like, mm-hmm. imagine if you're in a place where, oh, I have to look for a job. I do have to look for a job because financially, I do need to step it up. And then Mercury retrograde just started. Not everyone has the privilege of waiting.
True.
Yeah. This kind of goes against what you were talking about earlier. Just waiting, right? So, but for other people, it works. So it's really, it's hard. It's hard to find your stance mm-hmm. when you allow yourself to be fully carried away by these collective energies, collective mm-hmm. mindset. So yeah. So I was like, you know what? Like right now I'm actually like we're in the like right smack in the middle of a retrograde. And
yep.
I have things on the work end progressing. And I'm starting to think, am I wrong? Am I wrong for pushing through with this?
I have a quote-unquote explanation for it. The thing about Mercury retrograde, the powerful thing I notice about it is that if it's not meant for you, the universe will put every single inconvenience in your way until you stop. If you don't, well, you live with the consequences of doing something that's not meant for you. But if it's meant for you, the Mercury retrograde energy is going to be your most powerful ally because it will speed up whatever you're doing as long as it's meant for you. Also, remember that for certain people, Mercury retrograde hits differently. Like I am personally more affected during the shadow period rather than it being in retrograde. Like the pre-shadow period and the post, those are the moments I cry. Because for me, Mercury is more about the emotional impacts. For me, it's not about my day-to-day, my yeah. technology. It's fine. Mercury retrograde has always been emotional to me. And it's always shadow period. So, you know Avi, right? So
yeah.
She doesn't get affected by the shadow period. So we said, if we work together, you will move for me during shadow period and I will move for you when it's retrograde because how it affects us is very different. And I mentioned her because this retrograde, she did something for her personal business and it went amazingly well. Like everything came at the right time for her, even if it was rushed. And this is during Mercury retrograde that shifted to two different signs. And that energy alone of shifting from two signs during the retrograde is already a lot. Plus Pluto is in retrograde. So that's like a lot of energies right there.
Yeah. But it's also what I love about that is how Avi, we're actually talking about her. You know, how Avi acknowledged what she is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
I think in these moments of waiting, of you know, slowing down, that's when we get to recognize what we're truly capable of.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Sage Conversations. If you found value in our content, share your thoughts with us on Instagram and Facebook and tag us at Sage Conversations Podcast. Please subscribe and share this podcast with people you know and love. Every bit will help us grow our circle. Once again, thank you so much. May you be well and may you feel loved. Until the next episode.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.